Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show, Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM, AM, and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's special guest is a friend of mine who's done the show a few times over the years, and we enjoy having him back because he just talks and talks and talks. Baron Robinson.
Now you sound like my wife.
She told me to say that.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here, Terry.
Have you been quarantining yourself with this crazy virus that's running around?
When it first hit, turned out it was bronchitis, but it resembled it enough that I did.
What was bronchitis? You had bronchitis?
I had bronchitis.
Okay.
But it resembled the symptoms enough. I was self-quarantined for 3 days.
Yeah.
Had a chance to talk to somebody else, and I said even this pandemic didn't stop me from getting my message out about cancer.
You think it would?
No.
I don't think.
You just have to think differently. You just have to find different ways to approach the, you know, how you get to the public.
And that's now, you also work in a store that's very busy all the time, like my wife does. My wife works at Safeway there, and she was an essential employee, and it would scare the hell out of me that she'd go to work every day and she'd wear the mask. She still does, wears the mask and the gloves. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as she comes home, she's not even in the door there. And I'm standing there with her robe and say, okay, take off your clothes. And she goes, but it's not even dark yet. I go, no. Take off. And everything goes into the washer right then and there. And we wash her uniform nightly just because you just don't know. She's around people all day long. And
yeah.
Did you have to take a lot of precautions at your place of employment?
Well, I work at Costco and we wear a mask every day, which has been a real challenge for me because I work in the produce department.
Yeah.
Of course, with these nice days, a lot of watermelons get sold. And so you're moving watermelons into the bins to try to keep the bins full. And you're trying to breathe through that mask. And it's been a challenge. But what I discovered is the public has just adjusted.
You
have to wear a mask to shop at Costco. You have to stand 6 feet apart as you get to the registers. They're just as busy as they were before. People just adjusted to this new normal.
For me, wearing a mask, like yesterday we went out and did some grocery shopping, and I wore the mask. But I wear glasses, and the mask would cause my glasses to fog up. You know, I'm bumping into people, and my wife's going, what are you doing? And it's like, I can't see.
I know. That's so horrible.
It's a bummer, but let's talk a little bit about why you're here. You started this movement a few years ago called Kicking Cancer in the Backside.
Yeah.
Let's just do a recap for the folks that have not heard you before. First of all, you're all over town. I see photos of you all over the place, you know? Like a bad penny. You turn
it
up everywhere.
It is really a bad penny.
So what is cancer? I'm sorry. What is Kicking Cancer all about?
I'll try to go back even farther. November of 2015, my sister, who lives in Mesa, Arizona, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She battled through it and came to visit me at Christmas time of 2017. I hadn't seen her for a while. She was very fit. For someone who was battling cancer, you wouldn't have guessed it by looking at her. And we just got talking. She changed her diet to battle the cancer. She exercised more. And she flew home, and I heard about this thing in Canby called the Warrior Dash, which is a 3-mile trail run with a lot of obstacles, and it involves mud.
See, I would drive it.
Drive it.
I'm not running 3 miles.
All-terrain vehicle.
That's right. Through mud and stuff? Well, that'd be kind of fun.
The very last obstacle is about 30 yards of a muddy pit with a rope, so you have to stay down on your hands and knees in order to... It's just a lot of fun. And so I kind of rallied some of my coworkers at Costco, and 42 of us showed up to support my sister. She flew up and did it with us.
Okay.
When she flew home, I said, you know, the things that you do to stay alive, my coworkers are doing to do this Warrior Dash. Why don't we just form this little business and share information? July of 2018, Help Team Brenda was formed, which was a not-for-profit business. Any money I made, I gave to Brenda. And then by the end of the year, some friends said, you know, if you really want to do what you want to do, you need to be a nonprofit. And so we have transitioned to the Kicking Cancer movement. And I'm not even kidding when I say that it has gone global because I utilize social media. And we have people in the Philippines. We have some guys in India, Uganda, Nigeria that are listening to what we're talking about. And I will tell you that terrysoul.com is a spot that has been listened to.
Don't start sucking up. Now, go ahead. I like to suck up.
I just told, Brenda, it was a simple little message. What Brenda does is she eats real food and she does some movement every day. Whether that movement is a walk around your block or something as crazy as the Warrior Dash, the movement keeps your lymphatic system moving. And so for her, the cancer is in her lymph nodes. And so your lymphatic system is kind of like the oil in your car. If your car sits in the driveway, the oil gets sluggish. If your body doesn't move, the lymphatic system gets sluggish. So any movement helps. For her, it keeps the cancer from stopping on any one organ and growing again.
That was back in 2015?
2015 she was diagnosed, yeah.
Okay, so how is she today?
Great.
Five years later.
Great. In fact, if COVID hadn't hit, she would be here in August doing the Spartan race with me again this year.
She wear those goofy pink shirts too?
Yeah, it's kind of her fault we started this thing.
How many of those pink shirts? You got pink shirts all over the world. How many do you think you have out there now?
580.
Really?
I knew you were going to ask me that, so I checked this morning.
Yeah. 580 pink shirts. And they all say kicking cancer. And
they've all got the logo on the front.
Yeah.
And for those that haven't seen our logo, they can go to kicking-cancer.org. That's our website. It's just a cartoonish looking donkey and the word kicking cancer. Mm-hmm. But the word kicking cancer in the donkey.
What do you do with this organization besides crawling around in the mud?
We have two outreach programs. We're educating the public on how to proactively prevent cancer.
Okay.
And then we support local people. And I've just had the pleasure of being on your show and talking about some people who live here in the area. It was really fun when Nolan DeHart came with us and talked. And these are your neighbors. These are people that may live down the street from you that you don't even realize what they've gone through in their cancer battle. Just before I got here, Nolan's mom sent me a text. And for those that didn't hear the episode, Nolan battled blood cancer twice as a youth. Now he's 26 years old. But when your body is developing and the cells are developing and you're getting blasted with chemotherapy to try to battle the cancers in your blood, and he's a 26-year-old kid with 70-year-old bones, and the brain fog is from the chemo, so he battles depression sometimes too. And so she's just like, this is what's going on with Nolan, and so I just gave him a call to see if he's doing okay. So we want to support your neighbors, your people in your community, but we do workshops, and we educate you on how to not get cancer. And that's where we want to distinguish ourselves from other organizations.
Doesn't everybody either at one point have a cancer scare in their lifetime or know somebody that does?
I would agree with you now. I'm 56. I still remember when I was graduating.
I have dirty socks that old, 56, come on.
I graduated from high school in 1982. And back then, you might know someone who had cancer. But I didn't know many people. Now, I speak in many places. And I say, if you don't know someone with cancer, raise your hand. And very few hands go up.
Really?
Because most people have either had a scare, like yourself, or know someone, or watch someone die. And it's not just a third cousin twice removed. It's like my mom, my dad, my uncle, whatever. It's just getting closer and closer to home.
My father died in 1962. I was 7 years old, so I don't remember a lot about him. And then my mom died in 2001, and then we just lost my brother a couple of years ago. All to cancer. I lost a kidney to cancer, as you and I talked about before. So when you hear the C word, nowadays, it's not an automatic death sense, is it?
No.
And that's what people need to understand. Just because you've got the C word doesn't mean you're going to die.
No,
in fact, it means you've got an issue that we need to address.
Yes. And there's something I want to talk about a little later in the show about someone in our community that went, when she heard the C word, she took massive action in a different direction, and it's not, she doesn't have it anymore.
Really?
So we can get to that in a little bit. But one of the things that I found so intriguing, scary intriguing, I started doing some research. One of the things that COVID did for me is it forced me to slow down, stay at home, but I kept doing research. Over the last 5 years, so 2016 through 2020, every year there has been somewhere between 27,000 and 45,000 new cases of cancer every year.
How many people are dying a year from cancer?
Every year.
Any idea?
Yes. Every year for the last 5 years, It's roughly 606,000 Americans every year. And it's a flat line. So we talk about flattening the curve, 606,000 every year. Now, here's an interesting perspective. For the 5 years of the Civil War, 620,000 Americans died during the Civil War for a five-year period of time. We talk about that, how horrible the Civil War was for the amount of Americans that died. Every year, 606,000 Americans are dying from cancer.
And then how do we compare that with this COVID-19 right now?
I don't know what the number is, but it's not that high.
Not even close, is it?
Not that high.
No.
And because they kept using the word flatten the curve, I thought, well, what does that graph look like when you know, it is a flat line. We have flattened the curve when it comes to death, but we're not, the line's not going down.
Right.
We're not getting less deaths every year for the last 5 years.
Okay. What is your message? What are you pushing for?
To eradicate cancer.
Well, that would be great. But
that's an amazing statement, but it's probably not realistic because there are gene mutations. There are things happening in our bodies that sometimes we can't control. I believe with some of the stuff that I've read that after we bombed to end World War II, we threw a whole lot of toxins up into the system, into our atmosphere that has probably accelerated cancer. Chernobyl in Russia blew up. Once again, all kinds of stuff went into the atmosphere. So to eradicate cancer might be a bold statement, but I would like to significantly reduce the new cases. So the prediction for this year, Terry, 1,800,000 new cases of cancer in America this year.
Seriously?
1,835,000 new cases this year. So if we could cut that number in half to 900,000, which still sounds like a lot of people.
Yeah. There are several types of cancer.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. What is the worst type of cancer out there? Do you know offhand?
I guess you have to define the word worst.
Well, what's the one that's causing the most problems? Cancer itself is a problem.
Yes.
But there's different types of cancer. So I'm trying to figure out which, if you have liver cancer or you have kidney cancer or brain cancer, I mean, what is the one cancer that really is affecting people? Is there any statistics that show what the one cancer is out there?
I haven't seen a statistic as far as the number one. When you say worst, in my mind, it's like if you get this particular diagnosis, your odds are very slim. That would be worst in my mind.
Okay.
Pancreatic cancer would probably rank right up there with one of the worst.
Now, there's no cure for that, though, is there?
Not that I have found. But okay. But there is a gentleman that lives here in this area, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. They cut out his spleen. They cut out half of his pancreas and a scoop of his kidney to get where the tumor was at. The tumor's still there, but it's growing really slow. Now, you've got Alex Trebek, who was pretty well known for having pancreatic cancer, and he went through a horrible bout with chemotherapy. So far, it's under control. But typically, pancreatic cancer is bad because by the time they find out you've got it, you're already stage 3 or stage 4 because of where it's located in your body. Worse is a relative term. Pancreatic cancer would be one of the worst because your survival rate is very slim.
All right. We've got less than a minute left to go here. What are some of the other topics we're going to talk about today?
You know, I'd like to get into what America would look like without cancer. And that's from a financial standpoint. And, you know, obviously from a health standpoint, where we'd be as a nation. But there's some really interesting numbers. There's a lot of money that's being funneled towards this fight with cancer. If we could actually significantly reduce cancer, where could we shift that money? What other things could we tackle if that money could go other places? We'd love to talk about that.
All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guests. You are listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new home. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes.
Shopping. looking for car insurance? Get the very best coverage with State Farm agent Teresa Lule in Salem. State Farm keeps you and your family covered with great auto insurance. That's also a great value. Visit online at teresalule.com or on Facebook. Better yet, stop in the offices at 890 Commercial Street Southeast in Salem or call 503-378-1100.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. Today, our special guest is my buddy Baron Robison, who is here. We're talking about kicking cancer's backside. I like that, kicking cancer's backside.
I like that, yeah.
How'd you come up with that name?
I didn't. You did. Backside. You just came up with it.
Well, because I can't say ass on the radio.
You just, so. Right.
Oh, did I just say that? Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow, that's what it is.
Actually, the way we came up with it was we wanted a team shirt for when we did this Warrior Dash.
Yeah.
And I didn't want a shirt that had, you know, some nasty saying toward. Right. And there's a lot of them out there. I found this really cute looking donkey thing that was kicking. I thought, well, that's probably we're just kicking cancer in the
rear.
Donkey. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And we avoided all the bad words and it worked great.
So that logo is have you copyrighted the logo? So is it your logo now?
It's our logo now.
Good. How much money is being spent on cancer?
An awful lot.
I know this is a sore subject for you. So, I mean, let's piss you off early.
Okay, let's go right into it.
How much money is being spent?
Well, this is an interesting fact that I discovered. In 1897, this chemist at Bristol-Myers was trying to figure out how to synthetically reproduce willow bark because willow bark relieves pain. So you go back to the Old West, you're on your horse, you're going across, you know, Wyoming or wherever, and you got pain, so you'd find a willow tree and you'd suck on the willow bark and the pain would go away. So this chemist
Seriously,
that's what they would do in the Old West. And in the Native Americans did it all the time. And
really?
So in 1897.
So you look at the wife, you go, you know, I got a pain, I'll go suck a willow tree.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I think she said that to me once or twice.
I'm thinking of telling the wife that too. I got a headache, I'll go suck a willow tree.
Yeah. But there's something inside of the willow bark that would relieve pain.
Okay.
And so this chemist was trying to synthetically reproduce it so they could actually make a product. And he did. It's called acetaminophen.
Oh, really?
And that was the birth of the pharmaceutical industry.
Really?
So, I mean, I have no idea how much money they make now on acetaminophen, but that is
the... A couple dollars.
That is the synthetically reproduced version of willow bark extract. So here we are, 123 years later, the pharmaceutical industry is a $1 trillion industry, and the cancer drug sector of it is $40 billion a year.
What?
$40 billion. That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah, more than I'll ever see.
Yeah. It's the right now. It's the second heart medication is number one, but cancer medication will probably pass it this year and be the number one sector of the pharmaceutical industry. $40 billion.
Why is that so high?
There's a lot of the drugs that they are creating that are very, very expensive, and I don't know why they justify the price.
All right, let's talk about that. Now I'm really going to get you. You got me riled now.
Okay.
I
want to borrow my soapbox?
You know, I do. I have diabetes, as you know. I have to take several medications, and thank God I have insurance. Our Patty has insurance, because one of the medications I take is Xarelto, which is a blood thinner. Mm-hmm. She picked up the new prescription this past week and brought it home. And I looked at the insurance readout, $1,400 for 30 tablets. Okay. Now, my cost was only $20 because of my insurance. But if I didn't have insurance, I couldn't afford that every month.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the medications. Why is this medication so high? Why is there $40 billion
for
this cancer?
And diabetes would be a different sector, right?
Yeah.
So pharmaceutical is a $1 trillion industry, $40 billion for cancer, but diabetes is a different sector of the medications that they make money
on. So are you telling me it's costing them $1,400 to make 30 tablets for me?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't think so either.
Here's an interesting fact, and I mean, your listeners can't see it, but I've got a book here called Chris Beat Cancer.
Okay.
Chris Wark was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, battled it without using traditional methods, and beat it. He beat cancer, and so he writes about it in this book.
Traditional methods such as?
You cut the cancer out, you poison the cancer out with chemotherapy, you burn the cancer out with radiation. That's your typical methods.
Okay.
He didn't want to use chemotherapy to attack his colon cancer. So in the book, he mentions what's going on with your taxpayer dollars. The U.S. government spent $484 million developing the cancer drug Toxil. Okay, what Toxil does is it stops the cells from splitting. So if you have a cancerous cell and you take Toxil, then the cell won't split and keep growing.
Okay.
This government agency called...
But that's if you catch it quick enough, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And so the government agency, the National Institute of Health, did the research, $484 million to develop that drug. Then they licensed that drug to Bristol-Myers Squibb's, which has made $9 billion selling that drug.
You're getting me mad.
But they only have paid back $35 million in their royalties.
Why is that?
Because no one's holding them accountable to pay back the money. And it is sourced in there. If anyone wants to know, there's a source. But the source, believe it or not, is ABC News. Somebody at ABC News did all that research. So our taxpayer dollars developed Toxil. But they couldn't sell it, so they sold the royalties for Toxil to Bristol-Myers Squibb, who has now made $9 billion selling that drug. But they haven't paid back the R&D money. And they're still charging you as if they did the R&D. Because R&D is a cost, right? It's just
right,
a cost.
Right.
So you talk about why it's so expensive? I don't know. They're charging you, and no one's holding them accountable not to.
Hmm. That's I don't know. I'm lost for words in there. That's frustrating.
Well, and this might be part of the problem. There's 1,200 lobbyists in D.C. Between 98 and 2005, they spent $900 million lobbying for Big Pharma, and they donated $90 million to various campaigns. So Big Pharma is funding different people running for Congress to the tune of $90 million, and they're spending $900 million lobbying. Again, that's a cost of Big Pharma. They're factoring all that into the cost of your drugs to keep lobbying for more drugs.
So when I'm spending $1,200 for Xarelto, that's...
Part of that cost was the lobbyists to keep Xarelto on the market.
Okay, now I'm mad. Need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More of my buddy Barron in just a minute. Stick around. He's just getting warmed up.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. But check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking about buddy Barron Robinson. We're talking about cancer. On our last segment there, we were talking about some of this expensive prices for this some of the drugs out there. Off the air during that commercial break, you and I were talking here. Thank goodness that the tape wasn't rolling, because some of the language that was coming out of my mouth wasn't too good. And the reason for that is because some of this cost that you're telling me is horrible.
It's craziness. It's pure craziness.
Right. Give me some examples. First of all, why are we spending so much? Is it just for the drug, or is that for advertising and packaging and look good on TV commercials, or what? What are we spending this money on?
So if we take the product, cancer drug, out of the picture, let's say that we're Dorito or Pepsi or whatever, then the cost includes, I got to buy an ad on the Super Bowl for 30 cents. You know, there's all those costs that are involved. There's only three countries in the world that allow pharmaceuticals to advertise: New Zealand, Canada, and the United States.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
Really?
I have no idea. I did sit after reading that, and I sat and watched for like an hour-long TV show, and you think about the number of commercial breaks, half of the commercials I saw were for some different drug. You know, it's going to take care of your eczema or whatever it is, but there's a drug that's going to take care of that. My personal opinion is that as a society, we've got to a point that we want an instant fix to whatever our problem is, and if you advertise it right, there's an instant fix. Whereas what we're saying as an organization, what the Kicking Cancer Organization is saying, is this is a lifestyle. You're proactively preventing cancer because you're eating healthier, you're eating real food, you're doing some movement. That's not an instant fix. That's a lifestyle. But if you wait until your car is broke, it's expensive to replace the engine. And if you wait until your body's broke, it can be expensive to repair the damage. And that's where they come in and capitalize on that.
How, and you may not know this, and I'm sorry if I'm throwing you a curve here, but how do they determine the price? I mean, let's just stay with my Xarelto. How do they determine that's worth $1,400? It's a blood thinner, okay? I can take a baby aspirin, which is a blood thinner as well, and that could cost me $3.95 for the month, or actually a couple of months. This Xarelto is $1,400. Why do they come up with that price? You know damn well that's not what it's costing them to make it.
I don't know if there's any government oversight on pricing.
Okay.
I haven't found any information that shows that there's government oversight on pricing. And I'll give you one really good example here.
Okay.
So there is in 2013, they did a report on breast cancer patients that were taking a drug called paclitaxel.
Say that again?
Yeah, I'm only going to say it wrong, but I think it's called paclitaxel. And I don't know what that drug does.
Okay.
But it was a 20-year-old generic drug.
Okay.
For breast cancer patients that actually lived 1 to 3 months longer than patients who started taking a drug that was developed by pharmaceuticals. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce those two, but those two cost $4,000 to $5,000 per dose for the non-generic version. Okay.
That's crazy.
They made $500 million in 2012 from those two drugs alone. And the generic drug actually lets you live 3 months longer based upon this study. What they say here is that the cheaper drug worked better. In this case, the word better is relative because in all cases, the patients eventually died. So it only worked better because you lived 3 months longer. But the non...
What was the quality of that 3 months?
That's a good point. But see, the generic drug actually in the study, the generic worked better. You lived 3 months longer because of the generic, not the other one. But the other one had the ability to come in and put a tagline, a slogan. So it was a promising new drug. That's how they advertise it. Promising new drug that they charged you $4,000 to $5,000 a dose. And yet the study proved it didn't work.
And how often are they expecting you to take that dose? Is it a daily dose?
No, it was once every 3 months.
Okay, so once every 3 months, you're shooting out $4,000 or $5,000 for this dose so that you can live 3 months longer?
Right. Here's even a worse example. So there's a drug called Opdivo. It's for lung cancer. The patients who took it got an extra 3 months of life.
Okay.
At a cost of $100,000.
No. Seriously?
$100,000 for a 3 month dose of Opdivo.
And how often were you taking that? Well, it doesn't matter. It's 3 months, $100,000.
I mean, how often can you pay $100,000, right, to get that on the market? Bristol-Myers Squibb actually trademarked the slogan, and this is a quote, "A chance to live longer. Where's the cost at? The cost is you got to trademark this slogan, a chance to live longer. And then you walk into my office and you've got lung cancer. I said, hey, I got this drug that's going to give you a chance to live longer. It's $100,000 for 3 months.
But you're not going to guarantee me that I can live that 3 months. And you're not going to guarantee me that I can live more than that 3 months, are you?
And I'm not going to
get your checkbook out, though.
And I can't even guarantee the quality of life you're going to have during those 3 months.
Well, that was my next question is what are the side effects from taking something like this?
It always scares me when I'm watching an ad on TV and it takes longer to tell me the side effects than to tell me what it does. You know? The side effects are like 30 seconds and the commercial is 25 seconds.
that's bizarre. $100,000?
Yeah, for a 3 month or for a dose that would extend your life for 3 months. And that's Opdivo.
I would assume they're getting customers that want to do this?
Well, they must to keep doing it over and over again.
Would you do it?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
Even if I had the money, I would, no. For 3 months, you don't know what the quality of life is going to be. And you know what? If I have $100,000 and I'm just going to flush down the toilet, I'm going to give it to the American Cancer Society or to give it to somebody that could use it.
Yeah.
That's
I had the chance to, about a month ago, I met this wonderful lady up in the Tualatin area. She wanted to buy one of our shirts. So I took it to her and we got a picture together. 80-year-old lady just found she had breast cancer. And they wanted to do radiation. And she looked at, she says, I'm kind of a stubborn old B.I.
I know what you're saying.
So she said, she looked at him and says, no, I don't want radiation. Because I know there's going to be side effects from the radiation. I'm 80 years old. I want quality for the rest of my life. And if it's only 3 months, fine. It's only 3 months. But I had a quality 3 months. Versus I had radiation and I lived 9 months. But the side effects weren't worth it. And so I think that there are more and more people that are realizing, yes, these pharmaceuticals have developed all this stuff, and it works, you bet. The quality isn't there, and the cost is crazy.
My brother, who was a couple of years older than me, who we lost, was one of the toughest SOBs I've ever met in my life. He was a construction worker. He was into martial arts, and he was just tough. When he got this thing, he had both radiation and the chemo, and I remember I was taking him up to the hospital for one of his treatments there. He looked at me and he said, you know what? If I would have known this is what I'd be going through, I just said, just let me die naturally. Let the cancer do whatever it's going to do because of the side effects of the chemo and the radiation. And he was a tough guy. I mean, you know, but it just, he said, it wasn't worth it.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it really wasn't worth it. Do you meet with a lot of folks that have cancer?
A lot more than I ever expected. You know, one of the...
How do you walk away? How did you walk away from that 80-year-old lady? You say goodbye to her and you give her a hug and you just walk away. And what do you think when you walk into your car?
I don't know that I ever truly walk away. She found us through our Facebook page and continues to follow us on Facebook. And that's, I would tell your listeners that follow us on Facebook. The company's site is called We Are the Solution. I'm KC Guy, Kicking Cancer Guy on Facebook. We're just trying to give you some information. We're just trying to give you some ways to fight your own fight. But with this lady, she continues to follow what we're doing. And my soul, my heart is still with her. I met her one time for about 10 minutes. My biggest challenge is, you know, I meet someone like you or Doc or Nolan DeHart or whoever, and I can almost feel what they go through, you know? I mean, I met Nolan and realized this kid battled blood cancer twice as a child, a youth, almost died going to Portland.
But Nolan, though, you brought him in here one time, and we sat and did a radio show with him, and I've met him off the air at a certain events there. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. He's not pitying himself at all. He says, this is what I had, this is what I did, and now, you know, let's go outside and throw the ball.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, it's not the pity thing that he's going through, is it?
No, and that's one of the things I love about Nolan is that, you know, so I got cancer, you know, I got blood cancer when I was 12. Now, if you talk to his mom, her version is a little different because, you know, but he doesn't feel sorry for himself. And it took him, a half a second when you ask him that question to say, no, I didn't feel sorry for myself.
And he had it twice. He went through it twice.
Yeah.
He was, five or something when you had it the first time
around?
Between three and six. Okay.
For 3 years, and the second time between 12 and 15.
All right. And he's doing okay now?
He's doing all right. He lives outside Independence. He's 26 years old. But he's part of an adult study group. They're figuring out the long-term effects to giving chemo to a 12-year-old.
What is the toughest part of what you do? I mean, this is not your full-time job, but it seems like it's probably taken over almost full-time. What's the toughest part of this for you? Meeting the people?
Meeting the people isn't hard. So I'll give you a really good example. I met this lady from Portland. She is in her fifth battle with breast cancer. I did an 846 stair climb in Portland for her. And I didn't mind doing it because it actually rejuvenates my soul to do it for her. 2 weeks afterwards, she sends me a text and she's like, well, it is spreading. It's now in my brain, in my kidney, in my lungs, in my bones, and I'm preparing for the end. It's her fifth battle and she understands it well enough to know what's going on. That was hard. You know, after I got the text, I actually cried for about 30 seconds because I met this lady like two or three times, but to know what she's going through, that was hard.
Hmm. Do you call your sister and talk to your sister a lot? Because
yeah.
She's what, in Arizona, you said?
Yeah, she's in Yuma, Arizona now. Okay. She's moved.
Yeah, where it's nice and air-conditioned.
Yeah, it's pretty warm down there right now.
What do you talk to her about? Do you ask her how she's doing and how is she doing?
She's doing good. I called her this morning just to kind of talk about the show and, you know, what to talk about. And she was actually out for her walk when we talked. She's doing great, you know.
Yeah.
She was actually looking forward to being here in August. She may still come up just for a visit, but we're not going to do a Spartan race together this year.
Would you bring her in here? I'd love to meet her. And
yeah.
We can have her sitting with us and do a show. And
when she gets up,
she can tell me all the crazy stories about your childhood.
And she can correct everything I've said that's wrong.
That's great. We got 1 minute left to go here on this particular segment here.
Do you want one more example of the cost?
Yeah, please do.
So between 2005 and 2014, during that 9-year period of time, the amount of money spent on advertising by cancer treatment centers tripled. So you think of...
Why is that?
Well, my sister went to MD Anderson, for example. That's a cancer treatment center, right? So in 2014 alone, 890 cancer centers spent $173 million on ads, and half of that was spent for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And why are they advertising? So that you will go to their center versus that center.
Okay. That was my next question is, why are they spending so much money with this advertising? Instead of putting the money back into the research and trying to fix the issue, why are they blowing this on advertising?
Because it's a business, and they want you to come to their center versus that center. There is a doctor. His name is Andrew Saul. I looked him up. He's got a very, very big practice. And he says, good health makes good sense. It just doesn't make good dollars.
We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're all just getting warmed up here. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
We are back with our final few minutes. Today's guest has been my buddy Baron Robison from Kickin' Cancer. He's on here often, and it seems like every time you come in here, we get emails from all over the place. Actually, I had one from Spain.
Wow.
Saying that we are, and somebody that used to live in this area that follows us from Spain now because they want to know what's going on in their area here. So it does some good.
Nice.
It does some really good. Tell me some more stories.
Well, I want to give you another number, and that'll lead to the story.
Okay. Is this one that's going to upset me?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I hope not.
I think you like doing that, you know.
It seems to be working today.
Yeah, it certainly does. All right, what do you got?
So there's a company called Keytruda, and they're another pharmaceutical company. It's estimated to cost as much as $1 million per year per patient for a particular drug that they have for immunotherapy.
Okay.
So this drug is going to boost your immune system. $1 million per year per patient. Merck and Bristol Myers, those two companies combined, sold $9 billion worth of immunotherapy drugs between 2015 and 2017. $9 billion. What exactly is an immunotherapy drug going to do? It's going to boost your immune system. So one of the things that our organization is talking about is eat real food that will boost your immune system naturally, right? All those phytonutrients, God put them all inside the food. Do that.
French fries is not one of those foods?
I don't think so. Okay. The French would disagree with you. But there's a young lady that I met in October of 2018, and she actually found us through our Facebook page. She lives in Newburgh, and at the time, she was doing some research on this thing called cryoablation. Cryoablation is one other way to get cancer out. As long as the cancer stays fairly localized, you can put a really long needle on it and put nitrous oxide. So you're going to freeze the cancer cells. It'll break up and then slough off out your body. So that's an option to chemotherapy, cryoablation.
Is that something new?
No, but there's only two places on the West Coast that do it. And part of the reason I believe they don't do it more is because it's like you go in, you do it, you're done. So it's not very expensive. There's not a lot of money to be made in cryoablation. But it's pretty non-invasive. You just isolate the cells. You put this really long needle on there. You put some nitrous oxide on it. You freeze the cell. It breaks up and sweat it out.
So these pharmaceutical companies, they don't want to cure cancer, do they?
That would be my opinion also.
You know I'm going to get letters over that.
I know. So there is there's a gentleman in the book that says that curing cancer is not a humanitarian effort. It is big business. And with the numbers I threw out earlier, it is big, big, big business.
You think?
They're making a lot of money not curing cancer.
So is there some CEO sitting at one of these places there and just has nothing but money coming through?
There's a lot of money being made by somebody. So Marissa gets cancer.
Who's Marissa?
So Marissa's this young lady in Newburgh that found us through Facebook.
Okay.
And she reached out to the organization for some information. Because of the way her cancer was growing, it was actually, she had breast cancer, it was going to push through her skin. It was growing too rapidly. And so she was supposed to have surgery December of 2018. They moved it to October, and they cut out the breast cancer. She tells me now that was the worst decision of her life, was to actually have surgery.
Why?
Because they thought they got the cancer, but there was little pieces left that she didn't know about. So I called her a year later, this last October, to say, how are you doing? I haven't talked to you in a year, right? She says, well, it's come back, but now it's like little pieces. So if you think about a dandelion, when you blow a dandelion, all those little white things, that's what happened to the left side of her chest, is now she's got little pieces of breast cancer everywhere. It's in her shoulder, in her neck. It jumped into the lymphatic system. Now it's on the right side as well.
There's no way they can get in and get it out.
No. So your typical cut it out's not going to work for her. She was highly opposed to chemotherapy. So she began doing some research, some of the stuff that we talk about. She changed her diet dramatically. She went way more plant-based. She did a lot of different kind of teas that she did some research on. I called her a month and a half ago.
Teas, you mean
like hot tea.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know all the specific ones she used, but like a jasmine tea or that kind of a tea, right? So she's getting chemicals inside of her body through food and through tea and by changing her diet so that her pH level's more what it should be. I call her a month ago and I said, how are you doing? She said, I had my ovaries taken out to slow down the estrogen production, because the estrogen was feeding the cancer, and I was done having kids anyway, and it looks like it's gone.
Completely?
Yeah.
Really?
So because of how it came back all spattered out, she couldn't attack it normally, so she attacked it internally, the way we keep talking about, proactive to prevent, and she says the numbers look like I got it.
But and her bank account is $100,000.
Yes.
And got it.
Yes. And she did it through food. And
now, how did she determine what to do? Did she just start researching it herself, went online and
research? She has a naturopathic doctor she talked to, and you know, people she talked to. Just she educated herself. And our mission is to empower individuals to take control of their own body, which is what she did. I said, Marissa, you are the epitome of what we keep talking about as an organization. You did. You empowered yourself. You took control. And the cancer is now gone.
How many people follow you? Obviously, been doing this for 5 years now. You've got to have some...
2 years.
2 years.
Two years.
You've got to have some type of a following. What have you got?
Well, in October of last year, I decided to utilize social media. So Kickin' Cancer Guy has just shy of 5,000 followers.
Really?
Which...
In just a couple of years?
In about 8 months, because I started in October of last year. So kind of blew my mind, but I knew that social media had that power. So I said, well, let's capitalize on it in the right way. And they're listening because I get responses from the Philippines. I get responses from India, Uganda, which is all wonderful. That's all neat. I want to impact Oregon, Washington, California, right here local. We've got people in Eugene and Olympia, Washington, and Spokane that are responding to us on social. So I would just tell your listeners, go to our social media, go to our website, see what we're doing. If you like what we're saying, share it. That's where the power's at, is we said something, you liked it, you shared it, which meant that now it goes to your circles of influence, and we keep getting this information out because we are the solution. We're the cure. We're the, you know, sharing this information.
You're very passionate about this. Is it because of Brenda, your sister, or is it just this is something that you decided you're taking this on and I'm going after it?
It started with Brenda. Then it became Nolan DeHart. Then it became Michael Brown. Then it became my friend James Warren, who died, you know. Then it became, I'm just pissed off at cancer now,
right.
You know. So, yeah, I guess it is me taking it on. It's not me alone, you know. We've got a wonderful board of directors for the organization. They feel the same way. It's you. It's KSLM. It's people I meet that go, you know what, we're pissed off at cancer too.
Hey, do me a favor. It's been a few months since you were here last time. Let's not make another couple of months before you come back in. Would you come back and join? Because I still got more questions to ask you, but we've just run out of time here.
Well, as long as there's no COVID between now and next time, we'll be fine.
Exactly. You and your family staying healthy through this COVID thing?
We have survived fine, yeah.
Good. Yeah. All righty. We are just about out of time for today's show, and my guest has been Baron Robison, and you will catch us on Facebook under, what is it, kickingcancer.org, kicking-cancer.org.
Yeah, kicking-cancer.org, that's our website. KC Guy on Facebook, that's me. Come follow us, listen, share. If you want to volunteer, we got some fun stuff coming for you to volunteer for, too.
All right, and you've got a lot of pink T-shirts?
580, they're all over the world.
Good for you. Alrighty, Baron. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, sir.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.